Welcome to Thy Strong Word. It's Friday, August the 29th. Coming up to the Labor Day weekend, I hope you have good plans for rest, relaxation, time with family and friends, and especially in the presence of Jesus Christ at the place where you worship. If you don't have one, find one. Great place to find one is the LCMS website. And right at the top, it has Find a Church. And the easiest way is you can do it all kinds of ways. Punch in a town or just a zip code, and then it'll ask you like within 25 miles, 50 miles, and it'll give you a church and all the information. So make sure you don't leave Christ and His service to you of word and sacrament this Labor Day weekend. I'm the guest host today, Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, filling in for Will Wheaton, taking the day off. And this is a program where we let God's strong word move our hearts to repent and faith in the precious gospel. And to do that, it takes listeners like you. And so we really value you listening and participating. Participating can be in a couple of ways, calling us in the St. Louis local area, or if you have that precious, you know, long distance rate that's you can call anywhere, 314-821-0850, toll free in North America, 800-730-2727, or you can reach us by email, kfuo@kfuo.org. Joining us today on the phone, Pastor Dale Skirla, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Prescott, Arizona. Welcome to Thy Strong Word, Dale.
Oh, good to be with you this morning. And I note from the weather forecast that you're going to be warmer than we are today.
Yeah, I heard that, 67 degrees. Now, you're tell us roughly where you are.
Well, Prescott, as in biscuit, or as somebody said, brisket, because man does not live by bread alone. But Prescott is located midway between Phoenix and Flagstaff. We are at about 5,500 feet in elevation. And the weather is beautiful out here today.
It sounds
clear,
like
blue
it.
Sky.
And as you go north there towards Flagstaff, it does kind of get almost mountainous, doesn't it?
Well, we're actually in the foothills right here, and Flagstaff goes up to about 8,000 feet, and Mount Humphreys, which is the tallest mountain here, is a little over 11,000 feet.
Tell us some of the good things that God is doing there, Shepherd of the Hills.
Oh, wow. Gee. God's taking care of us. And there's not enough time in this broadcast to enumerate all the ways he's
No, I said just a few. Just a few, Dale. Just
well,
a few.
Well, I have a very strong leadership, both on the secular side of the congregation. And God has gifted us with a group of elders who are very, very strong. They are active. They are a very integral part of the ministry here, picking up where, well, as you know, pastors can't be in more than one place at one time, and the elders fill in with home visits and other visits, which I just can't get to.
That is fantastic. To have a great set of elders to work with you and you know, in confidence and hear things that are on your heart and your desires for the growth in the people is just wonderful. Now, you're probably cranking up everything here as we approach fall, beginning of school. So adult confirmation class, the junior one, and Bible study for people of all ages.
Wow. Well, we have a Bible study for people of all ages between our services. We have an 8:15 and an 11 o'clock service. We are one of the, I guess you might say, unsung retirement areas in the nation. The median age of this congregation is 71.
Wow.
The average age is 64. And It's interesting because the average age in Prescott, according to the last census, is 55. And then move a few miles just to the west, Prescott Valley, which is significantly younger than Prescott is, their average age is 45. So the congregation over in Prescott Valley has a whole bunch of kids over there. The bad news in this area, if there's such a thing, is there are not any real long-term career jobs except the hospital, the sheriff's department, and a city government or county government. So we are also the county seat. So, you know, but also having said that now, those three entities are in a lot of communities are the main employers in their areas too. So, but this is a wonderful area. The people are friendly. They are good, solid, God-fearing, believing people. And I'm talking about the Prescott area in general. So, great place to come and live and retire here.
Excellent. Pastor, would you begin us in the right way to pray before we jump right in to this wonderful text, John 15?
Surely. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this day thankful for the gift of your Son, thankful for his sacrifice that will bring us closer to you, his sacrifice which allows us entry into heaven. We thank you for the forgiveness which you have granted us through him. We pray that you continue to enlighten us, even as we recognize that he is the vine and we are but the branches that he prunes on a regular basis so that we can grow and be his arms and legs, eyes and ears in this world. All this we ask and pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. So let's take off here in this great chapter 15. I know our listeners, even if they're not, you know, familiar just off the top of their heads what John 15 is about as you start out, and you've already given them quite the clue, they're going to recognize it, most people that have been around Christianity much at all. So let's just jump in and maybe read down through the first eight verses, and then we'll talk about it and invite the listeners to join us via email and the phones. Jesus speaks, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Boy, now this is chock full of such good things, is it not?
Oh, this is a powerful text. We could probably spend a couple of hours just on those eight verses. It's jam-packed. So where would you like to begin?
Well, let's start with this so maybe some of the people get an idea. Even in the Older Testament, God talks about the church as being a vineyard with vines in it. I'm thinking specifically, I think it's like Isaiah 5, where he directly says that, you know, the church is the vineyard, and he has a press in there, and he has vines, he has wall up to protect it from invaders of animals and everything else, and he has workers, which he sends to tend his precious vines. Now, so let's start with this. Jesus declares he is the true vine. Why talk about himself as a vine and a true vine?
Wow. Jesus is a master of bringing divine ideas down into simple human examples. I have some vines in my office and elsewhere in the church, and it's interesting to note that as long as some of those vines are attached to the root or to the main vine, they live. And so we are to live. Our roots, our vine, is Christ. And without him, we have no steerage way. We're like a ship that has no rudder or has no sails. It just sits there to be tossed about by the wind and the waves, this and that and the other. Without Christ, we have no compass. Without Christ, we focus on the things of this world, some of which may be important and are gifts from Christ, but those gifts oftentimes, without Christ in our life, become our God, and that's not good. We hang on to stuff that doesn't matter. Jesus points to this in other areas of Scripture. He says, come to me, and I will set you free. And by hanging on to Jesus, we are set free. We live. We take the nourishment we have from Christ, just as a branch on the vine takes nourishment from that main vine, so we take our nourishment from Christ. And with that in mind, that points us right to the Lord's Supper.
Yes, it sure does. That's an excellent point that you're raising there. And so, you know, we all know that a vine has branches, and there's no life if one of those branches becomes detached. And we also know, and I like what you're saying there, that you know, he uses this vine and branch and fruit as a great word picture. When we hear the words, we can picture a vine and branches and fruit of some type, and we can also, we know when one of those gets disconnected, what happens to it? I love Psalm 1, you know, which to me really ties with so much, you know, that you know, the ones that are righteous, they know the way, and they're planted near streams of living water. No matter what the season, the heat of the Arizona desert or the high coldness of winter there in Flagstaff, they continue to burst out with fruit. And so we know from you know plant life, and especially vines, that if that root, as you said, is getting nourishment and getting water and so forth, and above it's getting some sun light, it's going to bear fruit. And fruit is just a bursting forth of good life within that plant, within that vine. And so could we say that Jesus is really warning here that we need to be attached to him and remain attached?
Oh, yes, and remain attached. If you've ever looked at a tree and you see trees, at times one side is very full and very lush and very, very, very vibrant, and you walk around to the other side of the tree and you see this one dead branch just sticking out, and you wonder, gee, I wonder what happened to that branch. Why did that branch die? Well, that is us when we are not attached to Christ, when we are not taking the nourishment that Christ gives us. So what happens? We go out there and we lop that branch off so that it is better for the best, it is in the best interest of that tree. He prunes us. God the Father prunes us. Even on the, if you've ever seen grapevines growing in the field, and you see the master of the vineyard out there walking down and looking, and he'll reach in sometimes, and you know he's got some clusters of grapes, but then there are too many clusters right together, so he'll pinch one of them off to give nourishment to the rest of that branch. He does that with us. He cleans us. We have a rudimentary knowledge of how we are to carry his word to others. And sometimes we trip over our own tongues. And our Lord teaches us. He prunes us. He fine-tunes us right there so that we can be more productive as long as we are attached to him.
And so he declares that all of this attaching is his work, and that the purpose is to bear fruit. I love what Luther talks about this pruning, Dale. He has a sermon on this, and you know, I'm just going to paraphrase him here very shortly, that he says, you know, that when the Lord does his pruning work among us, we yell out, no, 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 don't cut off that little part of me. That's my best part. That's my favorite part. And when he puts the manure on, we go, get that smelly, stinking stuff off of me. But he goes on to say that we don't realize until it's taken its good course, that pruning of things out of our life, out of our hearts, and the fertilizer that he puts on us, it brings forth growth for his glory. Would you agree that's kind of, well, let's talk about that. What's meant by this fruit that God wants so much for we, the branches that are attached to Jesus, the vine? What's the fruit that he's talking about that he brings about in and through us?
I could answer that very simply and say the fruit that he wants is for us to live our faith. Now, happily, a lot of us Christians are living our faith. Sadly, some of them truly are living the faith that they unintentionally intend. In other words, they're not doing it quite right. They're not attached to Christ, or they're giving lip service to Christ. They're being neutral, you know, either going one way or the other. They're just kind of sitting there and saying, hey, I'm in glory land. Well, we know what Revelation says to those. Be either hot or cold.
Yeah.
But don't be lukewarm, or I will vomit you out of my mouth.
Oh, that's a scary thought.
Yes, it is.
You know, Dale, what I used to love to use this passage when I was in the parish is especially with younger people, that I always had a one-on-one with them right before the confirmation service, and I would bring their parents, and I'd always have some kind of living plant sitting on my little conference table in my office, and I would talk about this plant, and I would say, you know, what if this plant doesn't get water, and I'm the one that has to water it and make sure that, you know, if there's sucker branches or that are coming off and draining, I've got to get those out of there. I've got to make sure that it has good soil base. I got to make sure it gets a little light of some kind and make sure it grows. What if I cut off all those things off? And the kids look at me like, oh boy, you know, here's this old pastor again asking us stupid stuff. And so I get them to say, well, it's going to wither, it's going to die. And so I talk to them about, you know, we are spiritual creatures. And you know, Paul says that, you know, in Jesus Christ, we are all new creations. The old stuff is gone. Everything is new. And so I talk to him that, you know, where's the place that God, the vine dresser, can prune us, that he can water us, that he can fertilize us? And I say, in the church. There's no other place on the earth where this is done except where God waters and feeds and nourishes. And so I say, this is what I'm going to talk to you about. And I think our Lord's talking to people about it. Do not think that you can just, you know, memorize the parts of the catechism and say these vows and then just go off and have a good time the rest of your life. You're going to wither. You're going to dry up. And that's not going to be good. I mean, you know, our Lord says, if you don't remain attached, abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Boy, he talks like this a lot, Matthew 13, other places. So this is a heads up that, you know, coming around where Jesus is, we can be pruned, we can be fed, we can be fertilized, and good stuff are going to happen to us. And the Lord of the church, he loves to do this stuff.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I use a slightly different example with the confirmants, because too often we're confirming at 7th or 8th grade. You know, it's a graduation of sorts. And I remind the students and their parents that confirmation or the study of the catechism is like building a house, but this is just the foundation. So when you finish this portion, you'll have a nice slab there and a foundation.
Mm, nice.
But nobody lives in the foundation.
Now, who wants to live in a hard rock like that, that's anchored, right?
Well, yeah. You can't live in it.
Yeah.
So what do we have to do? We have to put up the walls, put on a roof. It's got to be finished. And God helps us do that with the divine service, with Bible study, with reading the Bible, and which is why I strongly encourage members of the congregation to follow along the read list that I use, and I have used now for a little over a decade.
By read list, you mean reading through the Bible, I take it you're referring to.
Yes, yes. The reading list that I use, it actually comes out of Lutheran Worship.
Mm-hmm.
That's printed, it's back in there. I've been using that, like I said, since 1989.
All kinds of great reading through the Bible programs out there for people.
It really doesn't matter, but I encourage them to use that with me, because if they have a question, I know what they've been reading, and I have a better ability to address their questions, because we're, pardon the pun, on the same page. So, you know, that works. And it also serves to do something that former President Reagan said, trust but verify. Trust the pastor's words from the pulpit, but don't hesitate to verify it.
Amen. That's one of my favorite passages, Acts 17:11, you know, mm-hmm. where Paul doesn't have a very good reception with the Thessalonians, so he mm-hmm. goes to Berea, and it said they were more noble-minded because they heard Paul preach and teach about this along with Barnabas, and they wouldn't believe him, and so they went and looked it up in their own Bible, and that's the verification that we as pastors want our people to be assured of, that we're not making this stuff up. And you know, what I'm reminded of, too, is we were constantly drilled in seminary, Dale, by mm-hmm. our professors, that seminary meant a seedbed. And so we weren't full mature plants. They were just planted us, and that we were going to go out there and grow. They taught us how to read and study and teach the Bible, and then we had to keep that going. And that's what God wants with the people, too, is his words to abide in them and us. And then we have this great relationship with God, and he's going to continue to have fruit burst out of our hearts and lives. And so we're going to come back and talk about that after these few messages. Stick with us. Call us, email. We'll give you all that as we come back from this break. Thy Strong Word continues here on Worldwide KFUO.
Look Looking for a career with a Fortune 500 organization where you can bring your values to work? Look no further than Thrivent Financial, a faith-based membership financial services organization, helping members be wise with money and inspiring them to live generously. As a not-for-profit organization, we give back millions of dollars to the causes our members care about. At Thrivent, you'll find a meaningful career, making a difference for others and your community. To learn more about our financial representative opportunities, visit thrivent.com.
Let Worldwide KFUO help you get the word out about your next church, school, or organization event. By including your event in the KFUO datebook, it will be announced on the air throughout the day. Send your event information via email to jennyw@kfuo.org. That's J-E-N-N-Y-W @kfuo.org. Or call 314-996-1515. Be sure to include date, time, location, and contact information. The KFUO datebook is a public service of listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
One of the clearest messages of the Bible is that some things will not be clear to human beings. But the Bible is also clear that God is more trustworthy than our imperfect knowledge. On the next Sing for Joy, you will hear music that trusts without claiming to know everything. I hope you'll join us.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to Thy Strong Word. Rod Zwanisser filling in for Will Wheaton. Will will be back on Labor Day. He's pre-recorded a study of John 16, and that'll be wonderful to hear as well. Today, though, we're setting him up, John 15. My guest, Pastor Dale Skirla, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, Prescott, Arizona. And you are the best part of this and the important part. The listener, and hopefully the participant. Call us, email us with your comments or your questions on John 15, 314-821-0850, 800-730-2727, and our email is kfuo@kfuo.org. Pastor, let's zip ahead here so we can make sure we get all the chapter. Let's pick it up at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. And why I stopped there at the end of verse 8 on our first little path through John 15 was that he seems to shift from this vine branches remain attached theme to love and being chosen and appointed. Again, we could probably spend the rest of the day just talking about these verses.
Yeah, we could.
They're so rich. But let's pick it apart a little bit. Why do you think he shifts this vine branch word picture to now love?
Well, does he really? Now that's the interesting question. As you posed it, and I thought about these verses very quickly here. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. All the love that exists stems from the Father. It flows through Christ to us so that we can love one another. It fits wonderfully with the vine theme.
So without being attached to Christ, we really can't love anything or anyone in the proper way.
In the proper way, no. You're absolutely correct there.
Not as how God would intend it and to have it. And so then he kind of talks, isn't this wonderful language that he talks about those of us that he chose, which we could spend a lot of time on that one, but when we will in a minute. But he says, we're no longer slaves, but we're friends. Boy, I think that's powerful. It just makes me smile, language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are his friends. He's called us. And what do friends do for one another? They work for one another. They help one another. They nourish one another. They encourage one another. We all say we have a lot of friends. I submit that we probably have a handful of friends, but we have an awful lot of acquaintances. And some are very good acquaintances, and some of those acquaintances become friends. But Jesus is our friend. And as our friend, he wants us to be with him in heaven, and he gives us the guidelines. He gives us those 10 commandments, but not to take away our fun, to protect us. Psalm 19 is wonderful about that. God gives us those commandments to protect us, to love us, to care for us. And if we look at those commandments that he gives us, sometimes even cursorily, we realize that anytime there is a problem between people, whether it's employer or employee, neighbor and neighbor, husband and wife, dad and daughter, dad and son, anyway, we go on and on and on, at least one of those commandments is broken. Mm-hmm. At least one.
Yeah.
And yet my confirmation class knows that when you break one, hey, you broke them all.
So good to teach and understand that, isn't it? So if you can't do the first one, you can't do the remaining nine, and you're in trouble. And you know, this, I like what you were saying there, that when I asked the question, you know, why does he shift to love? You said, I don't think he really shifts that much. He's kind of saying the same thing. He's talking about, you know, I've chosen you, and I've appointed you, I've attached you to me so that you can bear fruit. And love each other, and even love the world, love your neighbor on my behalf. And so this is just a grand thing. We also love when our listeners, Dale, call us or email us and ask us questions,
yes,
participate in this is Bible study. You know, think of it like we were just sitting in a room studying the Bible, and you raise your hand, and you raise your hand here by just calling in or emailing us, and we love that. So talk about this passage. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you.
Yeah. He chose us. And somebody will say, he didn't choose me. Yeah, he did. He gave you your life. You had absolutely nothing to do with getting your life.
I had a person once, Dale, was in the community in Canada where I started my ministry. And it was a hardware store, and I was buying some stuff, and they heard that I was the pastor. Because the owner of it was one of my members, and they said, "Oh, so you're a pastor? Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, what was the date when you chose Christ to be a Christian?" And I said, "I never chose Christ. He chose me at my baptism date," and I told them the date. I said it was 2 weeks old, and they were like stunned. They were like stunned.
I was about 4 weeks old.
Isn't that great? And
yeah.
and you know, he connects this love, does he not, in verse 13? With the cross. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down for his life down for the friends. There's the cross, laying down this perfect life for the sacrifice that you talked about in your opening prayer. And that's real love, isn't it? And that's, to me, that's how the real love that we are motivated, that's the gas in the tank that fuels everything we do as a church and Christians, pastors, members, whatever.
Yes. God chose us by giving us our life. He chose us at baptism. He came back to us again at the confirmation. And whenever we commune, he chooses us again. And there's a story there, too, because the communion rite is very reminiscent of the marriage rite in that day.
Oh, yeah, that's so true, isn't it?
Yes, you look
I love that.
Yeah, the father of the bride, the father of the groom get together and they agree. They talk to the son. He agrees. He takes a cup of wine. He goes to the bride-to-be and basically, at that point, proposes.
With a cup of wine, isn't it?
Yes, with a cup of wine.
And if she drinks it, what does that mean?
Yes, I will marry you.
Ah, I love that. And then what does the groom do?
What does the groom do?
Yeah.
The same thing Jesus says in the Gospel of John.
Yeah. Yeah.
I go to prepare a place for you. He goes to build the house for them, which very likely was at his family compound, and he adds a room onto the side of the house, and when that house is ready, he comes back to claim his bride and takes her to be with him.
Boy, the Bible is replete with this love and marriage imagery. You know, one of my favorite books in all the Bible, because I studied it from, you know, end to beginning very thoroughly in the original language, the Hebrew in seminary, Hosea, you know, where God says, I'm going to picture my relationship with the church today between a husband and wife and how they love. And I'll play the part of Hosea, the faithful one, and the church, you're going to play the part of his wife, the harlot Gomer. You know,
and then
he says, and we're going to have children and name your children. Like, I love this in the Hebrew, Dale. Lo rukama, no compassion.
No compassion.
Yeah. Lo is no or not in Hebrew. And so no
That's
compassion.
Correct.
And then later on, Peter, he says, those that I have not had compassion on, I have compassion on. And I think it's in Hebrew, too. Gomer's estranged from Homer. Hosea. And so he says, I take her out in the wilderness and I whisper sweet love talk into her ear. And you know, isn't this, you were taking us there, Dale, I know you were, at the Lord's Supper. Boy, what sweet love talk. When Jesus comes to you and me and he looks us in the eye and he says, hey, Rod, hey, Dale, here's my precious body and blood for you today. Whoa! I just always got a big smile on my face, and I'm loving it. We've got an amazing person that wants to join in the discussion, Pastor Nabil Nawar. Nabil, are you on the line? Welcome to Thy Strong Word today. Nabil, are you there?
Anoint you with his blessings as you use this time to teach us many, many golden nuggets.
Shalom, Pastor Nawar. Yes. Great to hear your voice, my good friend.
Thank you. Couple of comments. Number one, this chapter specifically shows that everything that we have is 100% from God.
Amen.
The work that we are able to do, whether it's fruit producing, whether living the Christian faith or communicating, is totally because he chose us. And if you look at the how many times he says, if you abide, and I don't like that translation, if you remain in me, but it is not in the imperative as it's in conditional in the original. It is, that's not an imperative.
Right.
Because it is completely dependent on God. The branch cannot attach himself to the tree.
Can't remain attached either, can he?
It cannot attach itself.
Yes.
That comes from the tree. It grows out of the tree. It cannot attach to itself. That's number one. Number two, baptism is God's gift of grace. That's there. And thirdly, I was listening to the brother, and please forgive me, I didn't catch your name in the beginning. In my country, we still do what he just talked about, where the groom literally builds the house, okay? My uncles, two of them live right next to each other. And if you were to visit them today, guess what? They have built on top of it, on top of it, on top of it. They have three sons that have built on top where my uncle started. And on the other side...
Wow.
On the other side, my other uncle, he has two sons. The daughters leave the home. The sons stay. So that's why the sons build. Now it's the third generation, and now they are going sideways to add to that perimeter where the family is building.
Tell us where this family is.
Actually, it's right. Okay, if you look at Israel, it's in Haifa, but it is literally in the middle of Mount Carmel.
My goodness.
Okay, there is Lower Carmel, there is Middle Carmel, there is Upper Carmel. Upper Carmel is where Elijah killed the 450 prophets.
Sure.
Lower Carmel, shortly after he did that, you remember he ran away and he hid. It's in that cave while he was heading all the way down to the south.
Escaping from Jezebel, right?
Right. But right dab in the middle is where my family is pretty much around. It is Middle Carmel. It's the center of Carmel. And Carmel is Hebrew, is literally what you guys are talking about. I don't know if you caught this before. Carmel, Karam, El, which is the vineyard of God.
Vineyard of God. Ooh. Excellent, excellent.
Ooh.
So this foundation.
So when you talk about Carmel, you know why we're talking about the vine. And I watched my uncle prune vines. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what are you doing? But he would say to me, now look at the branch and look at the leaves. The closer the leaves are to the main branch, the greener and bigger and richer they are. The further out they go, the smaller and not as bright as green as they are.
Oh, that's wonderful, Nabil. Yes, that is so rich. I was going to mention, too, that I have some friends that own a vineyard in California. And he was a classmate of mine at seminary, Pastor Al Steinbeck. He's back out there at the vineyard, and his sister, who's been managing it, wrote a book called The Vine, where she has pictures of this, mm-hmm. where they're pruning, you know, and grafting
Correct.
And all that.
Correct.
Great stuff, isn't it? Nabil, anything else you'd like to share? This is so wonderful stuff and rich that you're offering us today. Anything else before we go on?
The only thing that I can say is that, too, you know, they talk about decision theology. This is contrary to anyone who says, I have made a decision to follow Jesus. It just does not work. And if you listen to those who have made a decision, they say, well, I have to rededicate myself because it wasn't so sincere the last time. Well, how do you know it is sincere this time? Whereas as we hold on to the promises of Christ, I have chosen you. You did not choose me. That's totally His word of grace, because in Malachi it says God does not change or back away. And Isaiah 55, of course, he says, my word will accomplish that purpose for which I sent it. It will never come back to me empty. Mm. And since he has attached himself to us, okay, we are connected to him.
I love that connection, you know, with Ephesians 2 talk. It's the gift of God that's choosing this, adopting this grafting in, attaching to the vine, not a result of works, so that no one may boast.
Absolutely.
We can't boast at all in the choice, the decision. We boast in Jesus Christ.
Well, I will add just a little caveat and footnote where Paul says, the only thing that I boast about is preaching the cross and the empty tomb.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Nabil, thank you so much for those great contributions, and shalom to you and the wonderful. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Pastor, let's jump ahead so we can make sure we get through this, beginning at verse 18. Wasn't that great to talk with Nabil?
Oh, wow. Wow. He is, talk about bringing life to the scriptures and validating, I guess, everything we have been talking about and from real life.
Yeah, and as you could tell, he was really picking up on what you were talking about there with the foundation and the groom going away to build and all that. It was wonderful. So let's finish this up, and I'm sure we can touch on these themes, beginning at verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Mm-hmm. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, I'd like to start from the end here backwards. And he's talking, is he not, Dale, about the sending of the Holy Spirit, the helper here?
Yes, he is.
And is the Holy Spirit going to draw attention, shine the spotlight on himself?
No, I think this is all evidence for us that God is again reaching out to us. He is again trying to feed us. And both the vine and the hating of Christ refer to not being connected to Christ.
Yeah, but we're back to the opening, aren't we? The vine,
yes, we are.
And the branches.
We are.
Without me and staying attached, Jesus says you can do absolutely zero. That's going to be your report card on the judgment day. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Well, and so this Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. He said he will bear witness about me. It's amazing that all the focus is on this vine, Jesus, and remaining attached to him.
Yes. Yes. So I guess to take this all right back to the vine, we have God the Father, who is the soil from which everything springs. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches, and the rain and the fertilizer is the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
It's just, you know, one compact idea all wrapped up together in one very compact Bible study.
where one person of the Trinity is, there they all are, as you expressed it. So this is really great stuff. This idea that the world is going to be in opposition to Jesus, as they've always been, and so those of us that carry his name and that preach him crucified for the sins of the world, we're going to expect the same thing they did to Jesus.
Yes. Yes. They hated the world hated Jesus because they didn't understand him. And Jesus actually points them to his works again. You know, he says elsewhere in the Gospels, if you do not believe me, believe the works that I do, for the works tell you who I am and from where I come.
Wow, that's kind of the summary that John even tells us at the end why I wrote this. He did a lot of works, a lot of miracles, and I haven't recorded all of them, but those I've recorded, with that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ and believing you have eternal life. That's fantastic.
Exactly.
You know, I used to tell my people that if the world, the non-believers, come among us and they say, we really like everything you're doing, we're in trouble. We're in trouble because it says there at the beginning of this section that we're talking about, Dale, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love you as its own. So if they say, we love what you're doing, we want to be a part of it, we should say, oh no, we've got it wrong. We better go back and look at this. You're not supposed to be liking what we're putting down in our teaching, in our practice, in our confession.
But you know that the more that we teach that, the more that we preach that, the more God works in us. It's been said in school that he who teaches learns more than he who learns.
Isn't that the truth?
And I've seen that, and you know, you say, you know, fresh out of the seminary, right? And you go, yeah, this and this and this and this and this and this. But as you've been in the ministry for even a few years, you begin to go, wait a minute, these aren't just words. There is a powerful message behind it. And the more you read in Holy Scripture, the more that you attend service, the more that you attend Bible classes, that message comes across. It's not about what we do. It's about what Christ does with us. But the more he does with us, the more we want to do with him. The more we want to do with him, the more he uses us. And we've come full circle again.
Exactly. We've got a good listener, Pastor Skirla. Cheryl in Indianapolis wants to talk about our topic for this day.
Okay.
Good morning, Cheryl. Welcome to Thy Strong Word today.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. When you read verse 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me because you have been with me from the beginning. That reminded me of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's the God of the universe who chooses us out of the world, baptizes us, marks us as one redeemed by Christ the crucified, and feeds us his body and blood in the sacrament, the altar.
Mm.
Wow.
That's so good, Cheryl. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing that supporting verse with us. Pastor, any comments on that wonderful call from Cheryl?
Wow. Wow.
Well said. Well said.
And this once again goes to prove something that Lutheran said, which baffled me at first, and it's Scripture interprets Scripture. Scripture supports Scripture. And you go, wow, from different writers at different times, but it all points to Christ. And what does Christ do? He always points to the Father. Why? For our benefit.
Amen. Amen. So good. So, boy, we've covered a lot of scriptural turf today. The whole image of the church as a vineyard with vines flourishing, being nurtured and fed, especially by the word and the sacrament, and all that, of course, is God's strong word having its way with us and bearing fruit. And I like what you said, Pastor, and we need to probably emphasize this a little bit. The more and more we're bearing fruit, the more and more we desire pruning. We desire being fertilized so that we can share more, as Cheryl did with us, and encourage each other. Is that not this whole encouragement thing that he's talking about? Even if the world is hating us, we're still encouraged because we know we're right on when it doesn't like us, and that we encourage each other to keep going, keep sharing, keep speaking for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Well, yes, and as if we go back to the Holy Week, Pilate said one thing that is very memorable, and that was, "What is truth?" And he's looking truth in the face. And, you know, yes, truth sometimes hurts. We know it does. But truth can be come across as a baseball bat, or it can come across with an arm around a shoulder and say, "Hey, you need, you know, how about this? Let's do it this way." It can be comforting, and that's what Jesus does to us.
That sharp two-edged sword. Pastor Dale Skirla, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Prescott, Arizona, it's been such a great time having you on today. We're out of time. Hopefully we can have you back. God's richest blessings as you are the servant of the word there, planting, attaching, pruning, fertilizing, reaping, harvesting. God's blessings to you.
Thank you, sir. God's blessings to you also.
And to all the listeners out there, God's blessings to you. Have a safe and restful Labor Day weekend. Thanking God that we can labor not only in our careers to eat, but in the vineyard. Join in Monday for Thy Strong Word.